moving slowly across the desert from the east. The wise men of Matthew's gospel have emerged from the darkness of human imagination for many centuries now, first as the rippling of shadows, then forming into majestic selves as the bright star leads them into the light of the newborn Jesus. Everything about them is quiet and discreet, the silence of camel hooves and sand, their beautiful cloaks muffling human sounds. They do not speak to Jesus or anyone else at the manger. They give their gifts, they dream, and then they leave. Ignoring Herod's instructions, they go home by another way and remain with us as mystery, as wonder. The gospel writer Luke does not mention them. For Luke, who wrote wonder after wonder into his gospel, there were no kings at Christ's birth, no special star, only ordinary shepherds from Bethlehem who briefly saw the light of angels there. Matthew, a rabbinic writer given to explain away the least bit of miraculous detail, a teacher who replaces imagination with instruction on every page, gives us this extraordinary tale, so different from the rest of his gospel. Why does he share it with us? Is it the kings, or the gifts, or the star, or Herod's horrific murder of innocent children that we learn about in the verses which immediately follow? No one else in the Bible mentions these mysterious wise men. Luke writes of Mary, her determination, her words, her conversation with an angel, her journeys, her lying down in straw because there is no room in the inn. Matthew has none of this. Mary does not even speak. Joseph is the hero of Matthew's account. He alone encounters an angel in a dream, determines to take Mary to Bethlehem and marry her, then dreams again, this time of danger, and rushes her and the child to Egypt, just in the nick of time before Herod does his evil deed to children, just like his newborn son. Matthew's numberless kings arrive in Jerusalem without any fanfare, in silence. They shine the light of their wisdom on Herod and share their only conversation with him. In his palace and in his conversation, they find no signs at all of wisdom or divinity or purpose or the glory they are seeking. Quite the opposite, in fact. They turn down his request to accompany them and refuse to give him information. Herod, devoid of political talent, ignorant of his own traditions, and without God's anointing, Herod uses the dark arts of tyranny to keep his throne, terror, savagery, and secrets, the murder of children for which he is remembered still. This birth story, seen through Matthew's eyes, is grisly, shocking. Matthew does not shrink from telling us that the birth as well as the death of Jesus are shrouded in violence, intrigue, and destruction, and require our courage and risk and the following of small and unexpected lights to guide our way. Yet Luke's more tranquil story of this birth has in it Mary's prophetic forecast that God will scatter the proud, pull the mighty from their thrones, and send the rich empty away. All the things that Herod fears. A year ago, a Presbyterian colleague in a small Midwest town wrote just after Christmas that the little girl who was the star in her Christmas pageant, who led the wise men down the aisle, whose mother then lifted her up so she could shine above the manger, was deported by the INS the following week. The Herods of our time are still sending centurions to trample through small towns in the name of public good. The sleeping populace yawns in unconcern, buys dark weapons for itself in epic numbers and delusions of similar proportion, and attends church on Christmas Eve, believing this story is safe for children, a comfort on a starry winter night. But the children who live under murderous tyranny today, who survive oppression of any kind, who are lifted up within it and see the light that the wise men pursued, they are the ones whose lives are anointed by it and who will become its light for the rest of us. When grown, it is they who will speak to us about God and Herod, they who will know from personal experience whose throne is real and whose is to be torn down, they who have heard the wise men and what they knew and what they really gave to Jesus and to us as well, the revealing of a new kind of king who births a new kind of kingdom and the wonder of it all. According to T.S. Eliot, as the Magi headed home, they took what they had learned at the manger to ponder this question: were we led all that way for birth or death? There was a birth, certainly. We had evidence and no doubt. I had seen birth and death, but had thought they were different. This birth was hard and bitter agony for us, like death. We returned to our places, these kingdoms, but no longer at ease there in the old dispensation, with an alien people clutching their gods. And so, as the wise men leave for home by another way, we close the book on the Christmas story, at least for now, and begin our journey through the dark and cold season of Epiphany, awaiting more signs of light to shine in our darkness. Amen.